welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Back to our text in Colossians 4:6, the last verse that gives us practical Christian living that grows out of the doctrine of the first two chapters of Colossians. And it starts in chapter 3 very quickly, giving practical applications for how we are to live, how we are to apply the doctrine of salvation in the lives of those who have been saved by it. And we go through a number of things here, and we finally end up with the responsibility and privilege to talk to unconverted people about Christ. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So, how to effectively witness, how to effectively talk to people about the gospel, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first element that we find here is gracious speech. Let your speech always be with grace. And that phrase actually points in several directions, and all of them very helpful. And I think where we need to begin is by understanding that our speech must be empowered by grace. If it's going to be effective, it has to be divinely enabled speech. I'm a pastor. I don't dare go to the pulpit to preach the Word of God without first approaching the throne of grace in prayer and saying, Lord, help me in my preaching. Lord, anoint my lips. Lord, empower my words. Lord, give them divine unction. Give them divine power. Make them divinely effective. Take my feeble words and infuse them with your powerful grace to make them effective to the hearers, because I recognize that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watch the city, they labor in vain. I recognize that except the Lord empower the sermon, that it's just so many words, maybe good ones, maybe not, hopefully good ones, but still, doesn't matter how good they are, if they are not empowered by the Spirit of God, they don't become spiritually effective in the lives of the hearers. I recognize that. Most preachers recognize that. But this text is indicating that people who talk to others verbally in conversation one-on-one also need to recognize that. Oh, Lord, as I talk to this person about his need of Christ, please infuse my speech with your grace. Please infuse it with your divinely enabling power. That's critical. Gracious speech. Let your speech always be with grace. But there's a second element of what this means, and that is our speech should not only be empowered by grace, but it must also be characterized by grace, which is another way of saying that needs to be distinctively Christian speech, characterized by grace. By grace you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, I'm talking about the way we are saved. We are saved by grace. But those who are saved by grace now have a life that is characterized by grace, and that means that our speech needs to be characterized by grace. Our words need to be words that reflect the grace of God in my life. They need to be words that are gracious and Christ-like. We sing a song at our church quite often. I don't know if you sing it or not, but it reflects a scriptural truth very nicely. We sing, "Let the mind of Christ my Savior," or "May the mind of Christ my Savior be in me from day to day, guiding and controlling what I say," goes on to speak about. May the mind of Christ my Savior. Well, that's the idea here. Our words need to be characterized by grace. They need to reflect the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is ultimate grace, all grace, bountiful grace, plenteous grace. You talk about being gracious. Jesus Christ is the epitome of graciousness. His speech is the epitome of gracious speech. Now, let our words be like his. Let your speech always be with grace. Which means, of course, that our speech should not be abusive, it should not be vindictive, it should not be dishonest, it should not be corrupting speech. Back to chapter 3, verse 8, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." That's talking about how our speech should not reflect the kind of talk that is common to the world, but instead, putting off all these things that I just named in those verses, instead should be gracious speech that reflects the new nature, the new man, the new heart that reflects Christ-likeness. Let your speech always be with grace. So instead of being abusive and vindictive and dishonest and corrupting, our speech should be truthful, loving, kind, wholesome, that kind of language. That's the kind of speech that I want. I don't always achieve that because sometimes the old ways come tumbling out. I'm a son of Adam, just like you. All of the ones I'm talking to on the broadcast today are sons and daughters of Adam. We came into this world as sinners. We came into this world with the sinful nature of a fallen humanity, and that affects our speech, and much of our speech is not what it ought to be, but we who have been saved by grace also have grace in our hearts, grace directing our minds, and grace controlling our speech. And so, let your speech always be with grace, empowered by grace, characterized by grace, but also controlled by grace. And what do I mean by that? Consistently gracious. Always gracious. Isn't that what it says? Verse 6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt," and so forth. Always. Not just when you are intentionally witnessing to somebody about Christ. Certainly, that's a time for gracious speech, no question about it. But this is talking about all of our speech and all of our life and all of our conversations, the way we talk with our spouse, the way we talk to our children, the way we talk to the people that work for us or for whom we work, the way we talk to others. It ought to always be gracious speech. It ought to always be controlled by grace. Always, all of our speech, all of the time. That is challenging, but that's what this is saying. Our Monday speech as well as our Sunday speech, our Saturday speech as well as our Sunday speech. At all times, our speech should be controlled by grace. On all occasions, our speech should be controlled by grace. When we are formally addressing a gathering, or whether we are in informal conversations, whether we are talking to a clerk at the store or to a representative of some business on the telephone, or whatever we are doing, whoever we are talking to, let our speech always be controlled by grace. I feel like stopping right now and having a season of prayer, confessing my failures and sins in this area, which are far too many. And they probably are for you as well. But our speech needs to be controlled by grace at all times, on all occasions, to all audiences, whether public or private, whether large or small, whether family or friends. Let your speech always be with grace, controlled by grace when we're talking about all subjects, whether we're talking about weather, sports, politics, or the gospel. Always, always with grace. That politics is a special one. Always with grace. I have been often grieved by the kind of language that I have heard professing Christians use when they get into political speech. The abusive language they use to describe people who they strongly disagree with politically. The way they dishonor high-ranking government officials and abuse them with their speech, contrary to what the Bible tells us, to give honor to those that are in high places. We may not agree with what they do or say, but we are to yield them the honor that respects their office. But so many times we forget that. But our speech must be controlled by grace at all times, on all occasions, to all audiences, about all subjects, in all forms, whether we're talking about verbal speech or written speech, Facebook speech or email speech, letters to the editor speech, or conversations with others speech, all the forms of speech that it's possible for us to engage in by which we communicate verbally is to always be with grace. Let your speech always be with grace. In other words, don't be afraid to sell your parrot to the town gossip. If your speech is always seasoned with grace, you'll have no problem. If your habit is to let your guard down when you are with family and people that you know well, and you only guard your speech when you're with people that you don't know as well and people that you think you might harm your reputation with if you let your guard down. Well, if that happens, then you're going to slip when you're confronted unexpectedly by something. But if you develop, if you purposefully engage in what this text is telling us to do, let your speech always be with grace. If that's your habit of all kinds of speech at all times, on all occasions, to all audiences, about all subjects, in all forms, if that's what you are striving for, doing, and practicing, then you are not likely to slip into unchristlike speech when you are confronted unexpectedly with something that you weren't prepared for. Yes, it's a challenge, but this is exactly what our Lord requires of us. This is what the Spirit of God directed the Apostle Paul to write to the Christians at Colossae, and then included this epistle in our New Testament because he wanted it to be directed to every one of us, to me, to you, to all of God's children. May God help us. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.